Lizzie, why do you think people are buying more records these days as opposed to, say, a few years ago?
It's just, I think that's just the bottom line. And I think people are starting to realize they have to, they have to get involved and support the bands that they like to be able to keep going. You know, that's one guess. The other guess is, the music industry has kind of tried to fix itself after it completely collapsed. And so everybody's kind of on the same page. You know, the record company now has meetings with managers, producers, video people, directors, people that have nothing to do with the label, they still have meetings with. And before, they never did that. They would just stayed in their wheelhouse and said, you do what you do over there, and we're going to do what we do over here. And that's no longer in play. Everybody's meeting with everybody, and the press is all on board, too. So it's kind of like a sink or swim thing, and everyone's kind of gotten together and try to make the best out of a terrible collapse of a great industry.
One of the things that's really helped spur the music industry a little bit is vinyl has sort of, you know, basically made a comeback, and you see a lot of pre-order packages with vinyl being featured, but then you can go download a digital version of the album.
Oh yeah, I mean, everything that they do, they're trying to add different things to it, and vinyl is such a cool little thing that come along, and I never thought it would be accepted by a younger generation, but they seem to love it. And if you go to any regular electronic store, there's turntables up to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So there is a market for it. It's not a huge market, but it's definitely a good piece of the puzzle that is the music industry at this point.
So describe the new album, you know, that you just recorded, and, you know, how does it differ from some of the past material that you have put out in the past compared to, you know, because I've heard some of the music, but, you know, not everybody has listened to it.
Well, I mean, I try to make a different record every time. That's my goal, you know, since the very beginning. And so when I started this one, I really wanted it to have every song stand on its own. So I didn't want it to be, say, oh, it's a good heavy metal song, or this is a good ballad, or this is a good this or that. I just wanted it to be a good song on its own, as if, you know, that was the only song I was going to release, that would be something I could support, you know. And that's not always been the case, but for sure on this album, that's what I wanted. I wanted all the songs to be able to represent the album in every way. So that was my first, you know, that was one of many things that I took into consideration when I started writing this album.
So what's the fan response been so far for this new record? And what do you think, in comparison to some of the older albums?
I've heard from the fans on our social media and everything. It's all been 100% positive. But more than that, the press has been so overwhelmingly loving this record. They all think it's one of, if not the best record I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that for any record. It's always been a somewhat mixed response from the press. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time where it's been completely one-sided to the positive. And so that blew my mind right off the bat. I mean, every interview I do is just, you know, most majority, if not all, have said, you know, this is a really strong, strong record. So I'm excited about that, because you never know when I'm writing and recording, I'm not thinking about any of that.
Right.
And I'm just trying to make a good record, but I do that on every record. So, you know, I it's the same mentality for every record, but I get a different response depending. So it's been such an overwhelming positive response. I'm blown away by it.
You know, I really respect a lot of your previous work, but, you know, a lot of bands like yourselves that came up, you know, during the same time, you know, they have some legendary albums, but for some reason, you know, something has happened where many of these really awesome bands have been really putting out really killer records. And why do you think that is? Why do you think all of a sudden a resurgence of these musicians that you came up with back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, why do you think they're all really putting out some really great records? Because I really think your last, you know, three albums have been probably your best, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, you know, I'm a better songwriter than I was at the beginning. When I first started, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just trying to write something that I liked. I'm still doing that, but I have more tools in the toolbox, so mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing a little bit more. Plus, I write and record at the same time. That's a different thing. I don't really work with a band, so you know, most people are in a band sitting in rehearsal going over things, and I don't do that. I write everything, and then I record everything, but I write and record at the same time, so that's unique into what I the way I used to do it. That way I can, if I don't like something, it's immediate, it's out, you know, and I'll replace it, and I often do that. So it's you know, most bands go through a pre-production period, which is, you know, can last more than a week, but everything I do is a pre-production as I'm doing the production. So that's a little different than the way I used to do it, and that's why I can analyze it a lot more.
Now, back when you first started out, you didn't have the internet. You had radio, print, and TV ads. And what made things really, really difficult was, you know, back then, is you only had those three outlets, but it was easier to get more people to move in one direction. You know, nowadays you have the internet and you have the ability to reach more people, but it's harder to market yourself because everything is so diluted. Some bands have had success doing it, some bands haven't. You know, and how has the internet worked for you? Has it been harder for you to market yourself, or has it made it easier?
I know for some bands, it's the greatest tool in the world. But for me, it's been very difficult to try and get the social media machine rolling. And I couldn't tell you what that answer is. I think it's just a clog in the system. And, but you know, when we started, there was radio. So radio was such a major important part, especially in North America, to connect the dots. And so when we were on tour, we were on the radio in whatever state we were in. So, you know, we'd pull into town, we were on the radio, you know, and we'd pull into the next state, we were on the radio. So it connected all of that, you know, on the fly, and it was perfect. But with social media, there's so many bands and so many musicians that you kind of get washed away in all of that. And for some people, they know how to do it really well. And but, you know, we haven't figured that out yet.
So let's talk about the songs and the lyrical content and, you know, maybe the theme behind the record.
Well, with each album, I pick a theme and I kind of write under the umbrella of that theme. So each song is connected in some way. They're not conceptual albums, but they're just kind of theme based. And, you know, for Deal with the Devil, it was religion. For A Point with Death, it was death. And, you know, and all of the other albums had the similar thing. For this album, I wanted to write about love. I wanted to find out if I could find anything in there that'd be interesting to talk about. So that's what I did. You know, for a song like Long May They Haunt Us, which is what we just did the video for, you know, that's about people that are no longer in your lives, and you know, you think about them every single day. You're haunted by them, and you know, you don't want that haunt to ever go away. It's constant. And so I kind of wanted to write about that and try to figure out how to do that. You know, I've had, you know, two guitar players pass away, two of my best friends. So, you know, you get that. And then there's a bunch of other people in my life, you know, but I didn't just write it about my life. I wrote it about, you know, I think it's a universal theme, really. And so I kind of wanted to try and dig down deep and see if I could find something in there. And then a song like A Point with Death, I mean, a song like Obsessed with You is a different sort of song as well, because it's a, you know, it's a whole different kind of love, you know, and it's not that self-explanatory, because I kind of write in poetry form rather than storyboard form. So you kind of have to read between the lines on what exactly I'm talking about. And but it is an interesting topic. So I kind of did that with all of the songs. I just kind of do what I always do on every album. But this album was really an interesting thing, talking about a kind of a generic topic. But I wanted to dig down deep, see if I could find anything. And I think I found a few things that are pretty interesting.
Now, has it been difficult for you to, you know, since you haven't put out an album in a long time, it's been hard for you to, say, keep your name out there And or has the touring really been helping in that department?
Well, definitely touring has helped because we, outside of North America, our audience is in their 20s, mm-hmm. and it's a very young audience, and it's been amazing for us. You know, for me being on stage, you know, doing this for 35 years, I'm getting the same reaction I did, you know, when we first started this thing, because the audience is that young, and so, and they just discovered Lizzie Borden, they discovered the back catalog, and love all the songs, so they react like as if, you know, it was in the early 80s. So I'm so for me, the touring really has helped. That's the main reason why I recorded this album, because of that welcoming response that we're getting all around the world. But yeah, it is. I mean, right. That's the only reason to be part of a label. One of many reasons, but definitely they have a marketing plan ahead. I mean, first thing they did was, you know, do the lyric video, and then you go on to do the real video, which we just finished, and they've already greenlit the second video, so I'm probably going to leave in a couple weeks to go film that video. And, you know, so there is a marketing machine here, and for Deal with the Devil, Appointment with Death, there really wasn't. There wasn't any marketing machine. And so it's a lot different than it was. So, you know, even though it's been so long since I put out a record, it's actually better. So far, it's been better than the last two records.
Now, you guys came up on Metal Blade Records, and you were part of a really killer metal scene back then. And you basically were part of a label and part of a metal scene, and you began where it all started. And talk about what it was coming up, what it was like for you coming up during that time.
Yeah, and it was, for us, when we started, they had only had a couple of things out, and, you know, it was just Brian working out of his mom's garage, so there was really no structure there, there was nothing. In fact, when we put the first song on there, I had to pay for it myself. So, you know, they had no money. And then even the first record, Love You to Pieces, was supposed to be recorded a year before. But we had to wait almost an entire year because he had no money to record it. And, you know, we're playing the Troubadour, and that was set up for folk music. And so they had tables and chairs and people would be eating dinner when we started playing. And it wasn't until the everyone kind of united with the bands that were working at the time. There was only six or eight of us, and those bands, and there were some leftover 70s bands, but for the most part, it was about six or eight, you know, new heavy metal bands that were happening at the time. And once we all united, then it started to boom. And then people started flocking here like it was the gold rush, musicians trying to be a rock star, and it blew up like you've never seen. You know, it was just, it went from really nothing. I mean, I saw Metallica at the Troubadour in front of about five people, you know, and you know, so and they thought they were a punk band. We had no idea they whatever this metal thing was. So, and the same thing for us. I mean, you know, it wasn't long before we were doing really well. It didn't take as long as it probably would take a band nowadays.
Now, you guys have always been more of a power metal, traditional metal band, and many people have always lumped you in with the glam band type image, but I never saw you guys like that. You guys are more like the Alice Cooper meets Judas Priest type stuff, and, you know, with some 70s and some Deep Purple involved. And, you know, what were some of your musical influences, and maybe the people that really had a profound impact on you as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, the first concert I had ever gone to was Kiss. So as soon as I saw Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley and everybody up on there, I've just like, these guys are fully committed. So I kind of used that mechanism to do, you know, I that's what I wanted. I mean, I was the first one to put the banners in front of the amps that everyone uses now. At that time, it was Van Halen. Everybody wanted to be like Van Halen and put all these dummy cabinets up. But I felt like I was promoting Marshall, and I wanted to promote Lizzie Borden like Kiss was promoting Kiss. So I put those giant banners with our big logo on there, and now every band uses them. But at the time, no one did. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, my influences are theatrical rock bands, you know, Kiss, Alice Cooper, David Bowie, The Tubes, and, you know, a lot of those types of bands. And a lot of the English bands from the 70s, you know, their songwriting is, you know, those songs are still alive today. So that's the songs, you know, I kind of gravitated toward, and I still, my songwriting style is embedded in that kind of thing. That's what it's all about for me. But because I have such a mixed bag of influences, it comes out so different, and that's why there's a big confusion whether we're a glam band or a heavy band or whatever. And it's because I don't want to be in a box. It's kind of horrible because it's better if you're categorized. If you can fit in a nice little drawer, then it's easier to promote you. But if you don't, it's very difficult because you're all over the place. But that's the way my songwriting has always been, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. So there's always going to be a confusion there.
Now, I had a quote from a musician that was on my show not long ago, and, you know, we talked about one of the declines, one of the reasons the music industry has declined, because a lot of your iconic artists, you know, you've seen a lot of these guys have started to pass away, and, you know, more recently in the metal scene, I mean, you see Glenn Tipton has got Parkinson's, and, you know, some of these other musicians have been passing away, and, you know, that was a big issue, and, you know, do you see any bands out there really coming out to replace any of these people?
Everybody's been waiting for that, especially Metal Blade. They've been, you know, especially Brian, he's been, you know, waiting for that classic metal influence young band to prop its head up. And been a few that have been close to that, but nothing that had that same influence, you know, that same, you know, you got to have those influences to be able to have it work its way into your music and into your songwriting. And so I think there's musicians certainly like that. But all bands, they kind of look around and see what's happening right now, and they kind of emulate that.
Right.
Instead of digging down deep and going back in the past and trying to do something, trying to use those influences to create something really interesting. So when that starts to happen, and I haven't seen any of it yet, or at least it might be out there, I just haven't seen it. But I know once that starts to happen, it's going to be a really cool resurgence, I think.
Now in Europe, you know, obviously metal really never went away, but in the United States it did for a little while. But then the scene started making a comeback in the late 90s and early 2000s. And why do you think it made the comeback that it did?
Well, the problem with the rest of the world and North America, they're on two different wavelengths, because North America moves so fast that when hip hop came in and all the EDM and all that stuff came in, all the young kids that would have normally picked up a guitar or a bass or drums or sang, they ended up going into that music. And, you know, there was girls, there was fun, and that, you know, so becoming a musician wasn't even part of their mindset. The rest of the world, that didn't happen. It may have happened in Europe, but it was still a huge, massive amount of people that still love this genre of music. So they still stayed with it, and then they introduced it to their sons and daughters and so on. But in North America, we had such a veer off of the majority of music, and that's why Headbangers Ball went away, and that's why everything went away, because rap and hip-hop were the only ones getting ratings, because all the kids went off into that. But I see now on YouTube young kids getting into playing an instrument again, and they are amazing. I mean, some of them are just so amazing. So I'm seeing that more and more, so I'm really hopeful that there's going to be a lot more musicians in North America, and more of a scene starts here again. But yeah, of course, when Iron Maiden and Metallica plays here, they're going to bring out everybody, because, you know, it's the top of the heap in this genre, and they're still going strong. So you're going to get people to come out for that, but they don't come out for everything. And that's hopefully, I already trend starting to change in a positive.
Now, I know what it takes to tour and to put a record out, and the music business, entertainment business, is a very, very tough one. And what has kept you going through all of that? Because it's not an easy thing to be involved with. And what has kept you motivated and kept you going?
I just love doing it, you know? I mean, I love touring. I love touring the world. You know, when we first started, we were so big in LA, and the first thing I did was leave and go and tour places where no one's ever heard of us. And, you know, and I left a huge fan base to do that. But that's the exploration of it all, you know, and I started building fan bases all around this country. And then when I got a pretty good fan base around the country, then I went into Europe, and then I went to the Asian markets, you know. So that whole kind of exploration is everything to me. I love that. But I also love being a recording artist, and that's the thing I've been missing for a few years. So
right.
I'm excited to bring that back into my life. And making records again, because it's a whole different ball game. You know, I always write songs and I always record, but making records is different than just doing demos. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to go through this process again. It's a lot of fun, and people are holding me back from making the next record. So I'm excited to get back in that half of my career together. So now it's back as a whole unit.
Now, what are some of your best memories of playing here in Cleveland over the years?
Oh yeah, Cleveland has been so good to us. It's been an amazing market for us for years. And really, at the very start, we did the first tour, Murderous Metal Road Show tour. Cleveland was one of the stops, and it was one of the biggest turnouts of that tour. And the first major tour we went out with Motorhead to go out. I remember Cleveland, I think, was the first or second night. And then we played there a whole bunch of times since then. So it's in probably every club around there, and every place around there. And so yeah, it's always been a big, you know, we have so many friends because of all the times we played there, that every time we go, our backstage is filled to the brim with people that we know in Cleveland. So it's really exciting, and I actually can't wait to play there again. It's one of my favorite places in North America.
Now, Lizzie, do you have any last words to say to all the fans that are going to be checking out the interview on my show?
Yeah, just go out, support the new album, and you can download it for free, do whatever you want, but try to buy it. It's like $10. Buy the album, support the band, support everything, so we can come back and do a full the major Midnight Things tour. And, you know, so that's how the fans can help. They actually have to buy the record instead of just getting it for free, which is what most people do.
Mm-hmm.
So